Hey everyone, welcome to the Auburn Community Church Podcast. We are blown away by all God has done through ACC in such a short period of time, and it is our joy and privilege to provide these messages to you every week. We have heard countless stories of people discovering a brand new perspective on Jesus and being strengthened in their faith through what God is doing through our local church in Auburn, Alabama. If you have been one of the individuals who have been impacted, we want to ask you to become an investor in what God is doing here at ACC. You can participate in our church by going to auburncommunitychurch.com and clicking Give for all of our giving options. Thank you for partnering with us to continue to build a church without walls. We hope you enjoy this message.
Thank you, worship team. I am super excited to preach on Easter Sunday morning. As Hannah said, this is our first ever gathering on an Easter Sunday morning, which means this is my first time preaching on an Easter Sunday. And I mean, we've done night services in years past, but always thinking about this morning, and this was a really a dream of mine growing up wanting to be a preacher. I know, I was a weird kid, y'all. And you're like, who dreams about that? Who thinks about that? But I was always like, man, I would love to bring the Word of God on Easter Sunday morning. And like I said earlier, every Sunday is an Easter celebration, but there's some kind of special atmosphere that happens on this day when we look back and remember the empty tomb and the empty grave. So if you come here regularly, you're like, he's not just like hopped up on some kind of Easter power. He does this every week. I do, but I'm hoping that the Holy Spirit takes this message to a whole nother level. We usually teach in series at ACC. So there will be a book of the Bible that we go through. There'll be a specific topic that we talk about for multiple weeks. But I felt led on Easter Sunday just to preach a standalone message that God gave me about 6 months ago. And that's hard with how much I preach to hold on to a message that you know you want to talk about, but I'm like, I've got to save it. I got to save it for Easter. I'm saving it for this moment. So I'm excited to bring this word to you. One-stop message. And we have a lot of note takers at our church who literally get stressed out the longer I go without telling them the title of the message. So I'm going to tell you the title from the very beginning. Easter Sunday sermon is called Winning by Losing. Winning by Losing. Do you know anybody who's super competitive? Are you that person? It's like, do you, okay, here's what's happened to me over the years. I've always been super competitive, but something I notice about me, and some of you have this in common, you're like, I'm not that competitive, but when I'm in a game or doing something where I notice that someone else is competitive, that brings out the competitive side of me. I didn't really care about whether I won or lost until I saw how much you care about the fact that you want to win, and that makes me want to win. That's kind of how I am. And I'm like, I don't really care. I'm just kind of, I've kind of mellowed out as I've gotten older, but when I notice that someone else cares, that makes me care. I don't care if it's Taboo. I don't care if it's Monopoly, which, by the way, Courtney and I have a lot of friends that are like couples, Matt and Caitlin Cole, Eli and Christina Tuckle, some amazing couples that are part of this church. And Courtney and I dominate them at Taboo. It happens. I mean, and it's like not even close. We don't feel bad. It's like Resurrection Sunday. This is a blowout. And it's not even close. I guess we just have that kind of chemistry and God has blessed us. But I love winning. I hate losing. And I think no matter how competitive you are, that's a commonality across this room. Everybody loves winning and everybody hates losing. It doesn't have to be about a particular game. It could be an area of your life. We love winning and we hate losing. And this is a day where we are celebrating the greatest victory in the history of the world. I get that national championships are important. I get that Super Bowls are important. I get that awards are important. I get that success and winning in life is a big deal to a lot of people. But there is no victory in the history of the world that even compares to the victory of the Son of God over sin, death, and hell. And that's the two sides, by the way. So you're like, for there to be a winner and a loser, there has to be two sides. So you got Jesus, God, light on one side, and you got darkness, Satan, sin, hell on the other side. And well, what's at stake? What's in the middle? Like when two teams play, they're playing for a position, they're playing for a trophy, they're playing for a possession. What was at stake when the Son of God went to war against sin, death, and hell was you and me. And so when we're celebrating this victory, this is not half-hearted, man, that is great Such a great reason to wear pastels and take pics with the family. Let's go eat ham. And I just want to get a little separated from the traditional Easter. Like, oh, it's so great to celebrate Jesus. We're talking about the greatest victory that the world has ever known. A win unlike any other. But, and this is what I want to preach about. I think that there is an honest disconnect in Christianity from the victory that we claim happened 2,000 years ago and the lives that a lot of us are living. I think that there's a tension and a frustration for the Christian in the room who has heard the message of the resurrection, heard how great our victory is in Jesus, and then wakes up on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and goes, okay, if the victory was so great and complete, and I heard somewhere that Jesus says it is finished on the cross and we have this amazing victory over sin and death, why do we still go to funerals? And why is life still so complicated? Why is my marriage falling apart? Why do I feel like my life is a train wreck most of the time? Why is life so difficult? Why is it such a struggle? Because we lift up this high and amazing victory, the greatest victory of all time. But if we were to get really honest, and I don't want to be the buzzkill of Easter, but I'm going to go there. If we would get really honest, Easter, as most of us have known it, is kind of overrated. We get excited one Sunday a year, we get dressed up, we take nice pictures, not naked pictures. We take, that almost happened on Easter. Wow. Thank you for that, Holy Spirit. Caught it. God's real. You don't believe it. You just saw it. But we get all excited and we make such a big deal about Easter, but I think it's a little overrated when you wake up on Monday, you wake up on Tuesday and you still got issues. You still got stuff going on. You still got problems that aren't going away with one prayer and aren't going away because you start going to church and aren't going away because you joined that community group. Life is real. Life is hard. And so if Jesus is so great and the win was so complete, why does it still feel like I'm losing? And why is life so complicated and so difficult? That's the question I want to tackle this morning in this message called Winning by Losing. And I want to preach to you from Matthew chapter 12. If you have your Bible, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 12. And we're going to look at a conversation that Jesus had about his matchup with Satan and darkness. A little bit of a strange passage to be preaching on Easter Sunday, but go with me on this. I promise you, you're going to see the Easter story. Matthew chapter 12, we're going to start in verse 22. Jesus is winning at life. He's gaining popularity. He's demonstrating miraculous power. And people are coming to believe that Jesus might be the promised Messiah of the Jews from the Old Testament. He might be the son of David that was promised and is going to bring restoration to his people. And I want you to watch this conversation that happens in Matthew chapter 12, verse 22. It says, then they brought him, that's Jesus, a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute. And Jesus healed him so that he could both talk and see. All the people were astonished and said, could this be the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, it is only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons. So Jesus demonstrates miraculous power by giving a man the ability to talk and see when he didn't have the ability to talk or see. And the story tells us that this disease, this issue, these issues were caused by a demon that Jesus gets rid of. Now, I know this is not really comfortable to talk about exorcisms on Easter Sunday, but Jesus is demonstrating that he is more powerful than the enemy, more powerful than darkness. And the haters, aka the Jewish leaders, the teachers of the law, the people we talk about every week in this church, because we do everything we can in this church to not be like them. If you've been to a church that is more passionate about rules and restrictions and compliance, then you probably have been to a church that has a lot in common with some of these guys in the Bible, who are Jesus's worst enemies, by the way. I think that should encourage you if you haven't been in church in a while. You're like, man, I don't really feel like I fit in here. The people who are supposed to fit in the most with God are the people Jesus had the biggest problem with again and again and again. Literally, they're accusing him of being Satan. It's only by the prince of demons. Don't get caught up on that name. That name, Beelzebul, just means prince of demons. He's only using his demonic dark powers. And then Jesus responds in Matthew chapter 12, verse 25. He says, Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. if Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How can his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your people drive them out? So then they will be your judges. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Jesus goes, so you think that I'm getting rid of darkness with darkness. Let's talk about your delusional logic for a second. This is how you read this verse. Jesus is literally saying, how can you accuse me of being Satan when I'm beating Satan? How can you accuse me of being on his team when I'm beating his team? It's literally like you're watching a basketball game, and I realize we're in Auburn. Not a lot of basketball people here. I'm hoping and praying Bruce Pearl changes that. But next year, we're going to be in the tournament. Y'all, it's going to be amazing. And in a basketball game, there's one team trying to score on one basket and another team trying to score on another basket. And Jesus is scoring again and again on the enemy's basket. And it's almost like they're standing up saying, he's playing for the other team. And Jesus is going, are you watching what I'm, how is it possible that I'm playing for them when I'm beating them? Okay, that didn't work for anybody. Let's go with football, okay? So football, one team is trying to score on another team's end zone. They're trying to take ground from another team. And Jesus is abusing the powers of darkness and scoring touchdown after touchdown after touchdown. And now they're going, he's playing for Alabama. No, that's the devil. So, hey, we love you too. You can be saved miraculously. He's playing for the other team. No, I'm victorious over the other team. And then 6 months ago, I read this next verse and I knew this is where Easter collides with our daily battles in life. And then I could say so much about what I've already read, but I really want to hone in on Matthew chapter 12, verse 29, where Jesus gives an illustration for how he is defeating Satan and how he is going to ultimately defeat him. Watch this. Or again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he can plunder his house. Some of you are wondering, why are we talking about demons and Beelzebub? It's Easter Sunday. What does this have to do with Easter? That verse that's on the screen right now gives you Easter weekend in a few sentences. Jesus said before that weekend ever arrived, okay, I'll tell it to you like this. How can anyone defeat a strong man unless he first ties up the strong man? Then, once the strong man is bound, you can go into his house and take everything from him. Is Jesus advocating for home robbery? No. What he is saying, some of you are like, wow, that's a good idea. He is saying, here's the way I'm beating Satan. If you're confused, you're really confused about how I'm demonstrating this power. First, I'm gonna bind him, and then I'm gonna go into his house and take his stuff and walk out, and he'll say nothing and do nothing because he's bound. How did Jesus bind Satan? The cross on Friday. When Jesus died on the cross, he was tying Satan's arms behind his back so that he no longer would have any ground to accuse the people of God, because our sins are washed in the blood. And the blood that Satan thought was giving him victory over the Son of God was actually destroying his ability to bring any condemnation ever against the people of God. So he ties him up on Friday. Well, when did he go to Satan's house? Where does Satan live? Where does darkness live? The grave. He went into the grave, and it says, I'm going to tie him up, and then I'm going to go into his house, and I'm going to plunder his house. What did Jesus take away from the house of sin and darkness? What did he plunder? What did he take? He took your life and my life, Satan's most prized possession at the time, by the way, and walked out of the grave. Said, it's all ours now. We win. It's our victory. He bound him, he walked in and rescued you and rescued me. And now, no longer do you have any reason to hesitate to step into a relationship with a holy God, because your sin has been paid for on the cross and Jesus has grabbed your life from the dead and offered you a new one if you're willing to follow him. That's the gospel. That's the good news of Easter. That's the offer that we're making to so many of you today who have never come to a place where you've trusted Jesus with your life. It's a free gift. It's amazing grace. It's all the things that you may have heard about but never made sense, that Jesus was doing for you what you could never do for yourself. It's the reason why we have hope. It's the reason why we have life in his name. Happy Easter. Let's celebrate. Except when Jesus gave the invitation to follow him, he said something really, really interesting on top of the victory that he knew he was going to provide for his people. You don't got to turn there. I'm just going to read this in Luke chapter 12, verse 23. He said, everybody gets excited about what I just said. We'd beat Satan, but watch this. Luke 12, 23. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. Like, well, no, I thought you took up the cross for me. Wait a minute. So to follow you, I got to take up a cross, not once, daily, and follow you. And then, yeah, you win as you follow me by losing. Did you watch how Jesus defeated Satan? He didn't start with we win. He started with I lose. Now we win. And so many of you who are struggling with the difficulty of the Christian life are struggling with just all kind of trials and temptations and reasons to walk away from God in your life. I want to tell you on Easter Sunday that Jesus did not walk out of the grave and promise an easy, comfortable life. Jesus walked out of the grave and said, come and lose with me, because by losing, we win. By laying your life down, you gotta lose first and then you see victory. See, sometimes losing in life comes before winning. Sometimes you gotta lose on a Friday to rise in victory on a Sunday. And some of you who are so discouraged by the level of losing that's happening in your life need to know this. God says, come and lose so that you can win. You win by losing in the Christian life. I've told y'all I was a basketball player in high school and had some amazing memories and all kind of stories that I like to tell on stage. But the greatest memory I have playing basketball in high school was a game that we lost and won at the same time. It was the most amazing game in high school sports I've ever seen in my life. So we had a rivalry. I went to Harrison High School in Kennesaw, Georgia. So did Matt, by the way. It's amazing. We're in Auburn. How did that happen? Jesus. And we went to this high school called Harrison, but there was a school down the road called Kennesaw Mountain High School. And we were only like 5 minutes from each other. In fact, I lived closer to that high school than my own high school. Incidentally, this is beside the point, but Courtney went to Kennesaw Mountain, so we were rivals, and she cheered for me. It was cute, but the rivalry was exploding. The morning of our basketball game at Kennesaw Mountain, my home room was in a trailer outside of our school, and Kennesaw Mountain people had spray painted our trailer with horse tracks. Their mascot was a Mustang. They thought they were cool, and so I remember being there, being like, man, this is gonna be a crazy game. I've never seen an environment at a high school sporting event so intense. You could not think, you could barely breathe in this room. It was so packed out with people and so loud. And it was the best game. It was back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. At the end of the game, this is so cool. We were down by two and we hit a three from the corner with about 10 seconds left. And so we're up by one. And Kennesaw is coming down with the ball and this guy shoots up a floater as the clock is running out. So it bounces on the rim at the front, it bounces on the back of the rim. I mean, if you're a basketball player, you know exactly what happens next. It hit the backboard and drops in. The buzzer sounds. Kennesaw Mountain wins, and y'all, their entire student section and some of the parents stormed the court. By the way, side sermon, if you're a parent and you care that much about high school sports, change, please. There's like, you know, drinks being thrown in the air. I've never seen a celebration like it. We're watching our rivals celebrate in front of us, in front of our student section, and we're so upset. But then I noticed that my coach was gathering our team up and trying to explain something. And our coach was a crazy old man, y'all. Sometimes I wonder, does he know what he's doing? And so I'm like, Coach, we lost. Like, why are you gathering us together? But he noticed that one of the refs was going to the scorer's table to put time back on the clock. And so they're all celebrating. They're all in the middle of the court. But there's only 0.4 seconds left on the clock. So there's no way we're going to throw the ball the length of a court and get a shot off. They're still going to win. They're just going to clear off the floor and figure it out. But our coach had seen enough basketball, brilliant old man that he was. He was like, I got this plan. It worked in 1965. And here it is, guys. Sometimes you need to listen when they say that. And he's like, here's what you're going to do. There's no way we're going to get a shot off. So we have to trick them into fouling us. This is brilliant. So he organized a play whereby running around, this kid who was a sophomore was going to stand still and let one of the Kennesaw players run him over. And so I'm telling you, it's amazing. He gets run over. Ref calls a foul. Sophomore kid steps up in front of thousands of people, makes both free throws. They throw the ball in, lose the game, and then we rush the court with our students and some of our parents. My dad was there. And we're celebrating in front of them. It was the coolest victory I've ever been a part of. It was amazing. And I think the reason why it was so great was not just because we were rivals and we had friends that were in the crowd. By the way, Courtney stormed the court the first time. Isn't that a cool story? And the reason why it was so sweet, though, was because it was like we lost and then we won. We lost. It was all over. And now, oh my gosh, it all turned around and we won, kind of like a field goal that fell short and got run back from one end zone to the other, if I'm not mistaken. You know that happened when we were like thinking and praying about coming to Auburn, and that was the Lord going, go. I watched that with Courtney in Atlanta, Georgia. We were like, we should go down there. It'd be amazing. God's there. So why do I tell you that? Why do I tell you that? Because sometimes you got to lose before you win. And some of you who are stuck in very difficult battles in your life, you need to be encouraged today that the kingdom of God works like this, winning by losing. You win when you lose. And some of y'all are losing bad right now, and I don't want to make light of that in this moment. Some of you have lost things, lost people in your life, lost relationships, lost time, lost a part of you to somebody else who's not here anymore. You've been losing lately. And I think the temptation is to think, where's God in all of that? And what happened to the resurrection power that's available to me? Remember, God's victory over darkness and sin is first I'm going to lose and that will bind him. And then it will free me for the victory. So you need to know that this side of heaven, the banner of the Christian life is the battle of the Christian life. The banner of the Christian life is the battle. What's a banner? A banner is something you hang to remember a victory. There's a reason why outside of our stadium, there's only 2 years hanging up. It's not every year we've ever played. There's 2 years. It says national champions. You hang a banner because you want to remember a victory that happened previously. So what's the banner of the Christian life? What's your reminder that you're victorious with Jesus? Here it is. Are you fighting a battle? Are you still following Jesus? Are you holding on to your faith? Have you walked away or have you held on? And somebody who's in a battle this morning needs to know you're not in that battle because God's mad at you. God's in that battle with you. And the battle that you're fighting is the evidence that you're still winning, even though it feels like you're losing. What do you think Friday, when Jesus died on the cross, was like in hell? What do you think it was like for every enemy of Jesus? Victory. We won. It's over. And what do you think it was like for everyone who knew Jesus? They ran scared and hid. But you need to know, if you're in the depths of darkness right now, if you're thinking about giving up, you press forward because you know that the victory isn't coming ultimately. It's already been given in Jesus, and that gives me the strength to move on. You win by losing. So every week at our church, I love to give people something to walk away with, and I usually have 3 points. And I really wanted to on Easter Sunday. We got so many new people checking out our church, kind of figuring out, is this the kind of place I want to be at? Would you come back? And usually I have 3 points, and they usually have alliteration, and some of them rhyme, start with the same letter, things like that, really creative. And God just wouldn't give me that this week. He wouldn't. He was like, your message is 1 point, and your 1 point is going to be one word. Here's how you win by losing in the Christian life. You win by losing by surrender. Surrender. It's amazing to me that the universal sign for victory and for surrender are the same thing. You ever notice that? Like when someone gives up as they're being chased by maybe police or other people, they surrender, they throw their hands up. I give up. I'm not running anymore. I give up. But simultaneously, when victory happens, we have this innate desire to throw our arms up. In victory. We do the same thing when we lose and when we win. And I think that was God given to us to remind us, if you want to win in the Christian life, it doesn't come when you decide to try harder and fight harder. It doesn't come when you put in more effort. It doesn't come when you attend enough church services. You win by losing in the Christian life. So what's the message that Jesus was saying to me on the cross? Stop fighting me and surrender your life to me. Give up trying to make your life better. Give up trying to be good enough for God. Give up trying to figure out your future. And through surrender, watch this, if you will surrender your life to let God do in and through you what only he can do, the victory comes after you open your hands and surrender. So I don't know your situation. I know that a lot of people in this room are fighting God in a battle for control. When we baptized 38 people, the number one issue that people talked about again and again from their story was anxiety and fear and worry. I know that that is probably the most prevalent issue in this church this morning. And all worry is a fear because you want control and you don't have it. And you're fighting God going, if I could just think on this longer, if I could just control this, and that battle has made you lose your confidence. I'm here to tell you, when you stop trying and you start trusting, when you start surrendering to God, your confidence comes back the moment you surrender control. Some of you are in a transition in life and it's not easy. Some of you are going through a breakup. Some of you just moved to a new city. You're trying to navigate, why is this so hard? And why is this so difficult? Well, the battle is not won the day you figure it all out, or the day you get the answer from God you think you're gonna get, or the day the breakthrough happens. The battle is won the day you remember that the battle has already been won, and all I have to do is surrender to God in this moment, regardless of what I see. Because what he says is stronger than what I see. And my faith comes alive when I lay my life down. You win by losing. Some of y'all are battling for control. Some of y'all are battling against your past. Some of y'all have been interested so far this morning, but you're not totally tracking with me because you're like, I am not a Jesus person. I got some stuff in my past that would prevent God from moving in my life. And I like what you're saying, but I don't have your story. What the cross and the empty tomb says to any story in this moment is you get to win in the present by losing your past. And you can surrender to Jesus because he is not waiting for you to figure out everything you did against him. He already did that on the cross, and he was victorious over it in an empty tomb. You don't have to be good enough. You don't have to go back and change what you did, but you do have to surrender it. God, I give it to you. It's yours. And when you lose your past, you can win this moment in the present. See, God is here and now. He's not there and then. He's not waiting for you to change what you did. He is waiting for you to respond now. If you are in this room right now, it is evidence that God has something to say to you. Because you could be at a multitude of places this morning, and you ended up here at this time hearing this word. And the word is surrender. Ultimately, Jesus was victorious in his life because he surrendered to his Father's will. Jesus didn't go do his own thing. He lost his life. He lost what he wanted. The night before he died, he said, Father, I don't want to do this. If there's any other way for this to happen without me going to this cross,
But I, ultimately, at the end of the day, I will lose my preference. I will lose what I think I want and bow before your will. What do you got to lose to win in your relationship with God? And some of y'all think you've lost all your strength. But I'm here to tell you the evidence that you've lost your strength is the evidence that you can win your struggle, because God says he's most strong in your weakness. So if you're here and you feel like you're down to nothing, great news. That's exactly where the breakthrough happens in the kingdom of God. If you're here and feeling like, I don't think I can go on, the answer isn't, well, push through. The answer is, you need to give up. You can't go on. And you need power, Holy Spirit power, the same power that raised Jesus from the grave, to come and fill you and give you strength that you can't get from anyone or anything else. You win your struggle by losing your strength so that God's strength can flow in and through your life. But all of it can only happen if you're willing to surrender. Some of you need to surrender to Jesus for the first time. Some of you need to surrender a situation. I don't know what you're going through, but I do know this. This is going to be the last point before we lift up the Son of God and worship. I know that what the enemy means to destroy you in defeat, God uses to deliver you in victory. What the enemy meant to destroy you in defeat, God can use that very thing to be your deliverance and victory. Here's what I mean by that. The battle that you're in is not an accident. God wants to use the battle that you're in to tell his story. And so you think, why is my life so complicated? Why is my life so difficult? Because if your life was comfortable and what you wanted it to be all the time, where's the evidence that God ever needed to do anything through you? But what your battle has provided is a platform for God to stand and be seen as the God that he is. You want to talk about the banner in the battle? He turned the ultimate sign for capital punishment into the universal sign for resurrection. Put crosses up everywhere and go, that's beautiful. That's a decoration. That's awesome. It's like putting an electric chair up and saying that's beautiful. It's not beautiful, but God uses the agents that man and the enemy mean for evil and turns them for our good and his glory. The battle that you're in is a banner, and God wants that banner to shine victory, but you're not going to see the victory until you surrender, until you throw your hands up and say, my life is yours, God. It's yours. I'm tired of living for myself. I'm tired of trying to figure this thing out myself. The message of the Christian life isn't obey more. The message of the Christian life is you can't obey more. That's why he died. Surrender. Surrender. Victory by surrender. I was reading in Exodus chapter 17 this week, and I just freaked out when I read this moment. It's a battle. You don't got to turn there. It's a battle where Moses and Joshua lead the people of God against the Amalekites. And you may have heard of this battle. It's a battle where Moses held his arms up and said, as long as my arms are elevated, we're winning the battle. But as soon as they fall, we're losing. And his friends come and help him hold up his arms so that Joshua and the fighting men can look at Moses. Watch this. And as long as they see Moses has his arms up, they have the strength to go on because they believe that they're winning. And you know that story? Like we read it and we think Moses is giving them signs. Like he's going, oh, we're losing, we're losing, we're losing. Okay, keep going. Yeah, you're winning, you're winning. Oh, we're losing. No. That's not what the story says. The story says that as long as Moses kept his arms up, the battle was won. So while you're on the ground fighting, when you look at Moses, you go, okay, it feels like we're losing here, but we can press on because his arms are still up. And that means that he's holding up the staff of the Lord. We're, even if it looks like we're losing, we're ultimately going to win. And Moses, with his arms elevated, becomes the thing that drives the people of God to victory. And after they win, I could not believe this when I read this. After they win, it says Moses built an altar to the Lord. And he called that altar, the Lord is my banner. The Lord is my banner. He's the place that I look to remember that regardless of how difficult the battle is here, if I'm surrendered to him, we already won. We don't fight for victory, we fight from victory. And the victory was complete on Easter Sunday 2,000 years ago. So here's what I want to do. And this is going to be uncomfortable for some of you. This message has moved in a lot of you during this time. Some of you, first time you ever call on the name of Jesus will be in the next few minutes. But some of you are in very real battles. Regardless, the solution is the same. Surrender to God. So when I pray, we're going to turn the lights down in this room, and I'm going to ask that as I pray, that as a sign to God, you would acknowledge your surrender to Him with a lifted hand. I'm not asking you to come down front and share your testimony. I'm not asking you to eat some bread and drink some juice and or wine, depending on whether or not your church is conservative. I'm not asking you to do much, but I am saying if you're in a real battle right now, as a physical sign of the spiritual reality of your heart, when I pray, would you just throw up your arms and surrender and say, God, I'm tired of trying. Make my battle my banner. I love you and press on. Let me pray in this place. Father God, thank you for this moment. I pray for every individual in this room who that's exactly where they are right now, that as I count to three, they would lift up their hands all over this place and say, I surrender to you, Lord. One, God loves you. He sent Jesus to die for you. Two, the Bible says today is a day for salvation. Do not wait. Three, lift up your hands right now. If you're in a spot where you need to surrender to God, if you want to give Him all your battles, if you want to give Him that thing all over this place, all over this place. Father God, our arms are lifted in surrender to you. We recognize that your victory is complete, and that we still have to lose on the front end down here. But God, as we're feeling like we're losing, we look at that empty tomb and we say, this is not a losing battle. This is a winning battle. And we win because we surrender to you. God, for every person raising their hands to you for the first time, this is the first time that they've ever made a move toward you. God, I pray that you show them that you've been moving toward them for a long time. And every hand raises a story. God, you know their stories. I pray that from here we would walk in victory as we face every difficulty with the confidence that you're in control. God, sin was strong, but Jesus is so much stronger. We surrender to His power and we say yes to His story in this moment. Take this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all stand up. Let's sing to God. Come on, let's celebrate Easter Sunday.
Thanks so much for listening to the Auburn Community Church Podcast. Our hope and prayer is that God uses this message to challenge you and push you into a closer and deeper relationship with Him. For more information about ACC, you can go to auburncommunitychurch.com.